from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It is a unique week. It comes around once every year, and it's probably the highlight, the non-Super Bowl highlight of the football season. It is particularly for me, and it is draft week. It is officially begun. We're going to go over in depth the draft board that I have built for the last 6 months here in the next couple of days. We're going to start today with the first round. We'll get to that in just a minute. It is going to be released. It'll be on ChiefsDigest.com at Derek's site. It'll also be available over on Rogue Analytics. Going to get that up. Should be mid to late day Monday. It's been a little bit delayed because I hope you guys all had an enjoyable holiday weekend. Ours was plagued by sports injuries, so I had a hospital visit with one of the children, and everything has been delayed a little bit. But wanted to get this out for you, and what we're going to do now is just start going through it the way that I lay out the board. And again, what you want to do is check out the sites later this afternoon, Monday afternoon, to get your version of it. It'll be in a PDF you can download, follow around during the draft, as well as we go through this on this show and the next couple of shows. Along with some guests, along with Chris and Matt and Seth, we're all in this week. Big, big week in the football world. But in general, what I do every year is lay out guys that qualify both in film grade, in athleticism, in reports from what we've heard in terms of their interviews. Now, obviously, we are not in the rooms. We are not guys with insider connections inside most teams. We do have a little bit of information with the Chiefs just because we've covered them for so long and we have a lot of folks who have connections with them. But for the rest of the teams, we obviously don't have a whole lot of insight. But what I try to do is lay out where a guy is in terms of all the teams and how they, as a mean, might grade them. Every team's going to have certain things that they look for at a given position. You know, there's going to be zone corner teams. There's going to be man corner teams. There's going to be between the tackles, running backs, there's going to be blocking tight ends versus pass catching tight ends. All that, you know, is taken into account and generally put them together in kind of a stack. And that's what the teams do. They get their film grades. They get all the medical reports. They get the athleticism reports. And a lot of them just use different metrics that either they've developed or they just go by the raw scores. Obviously, the athletic matrix that I put out at Rogue Analytics is something that I think all teams ought to be using, and I'm trying to make inroads that way. But whatever they do, they put it all together into a main board, and they stack them. They rank them one after another at a given position. And here's where it gets tricky. Then they do a horizontal board. And the horizontal board is what you'll download from the sites this afternoon. And I've laid it all out there. And it's quantifying where each position lies in relation to the others so that you get a grade, basically, on where a guy compares to other players in the class at different positions, at different needs, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this year, I started out, I only had 19 when I finished the film. A couple of guys have bumped up. Mostly because of need, the quarterbacks. I originally only had two going in the first round. I do have three now. We'll get to that in a second. But other big positions, the offensive tackles, more athleticism that you would think, maybe not quite the film grades that we've seen in years past, but a good collection of them as well. And so overall, we'll talk about the first rounders today, and that's 22. It came out to me for 22, which is generally right in the range that I come out with over the last four or five seasons. I think I've had two classes with 22 and the others being at 20. I did have 1 year, I think it was 2012, where I only had 18 first round grades. So it does vary from year to year. And I do have an eye towards what I think is an outstanding player and what warrants a first round pick. And that's really what we ought to define from the get-go. In the first round, this has to be a starter, someone that in the coming season, in 2019, you can look at and project on your roster to be a starting player for whatever scheme you run, whatever role you're drafting him to fill. That's what the first round is for. We can talk later on as we get closer to draft day about what the fourth, the fifth, the undrafted free agents, et cetera, what they all mean. But this group that we'll be talking about today is specifically the starting quality players that, given a role, can come in and do something, whether you're a 4-3 team or a 3-4 team, whether you're West Coast offense or old school bang it down the middle. They can come in and do something to help you this season. And that's the group we'll focus on today, since it's Monday and it's board release day. That's where we want to look at. A couple of other qualifiers. I don't differentiate what role they play. When you look at the way I do my research, and you've heard me talk about this before, whether they're a power edge for a 4-3 defensive end or they're a speed edge for an outside pass rusher in the 3-4 outside linebacker spot, I don't differentiate. If they're that good and they can play that role in the defense that they fit, great. That's the way that we're going to rank them. And I think you're going to be in for a couple of surprises. There's definitely some things that my co-hosts are going to argue with. I'll let them react to that when they react to that. But Seth and Chris are going to see things a little bit differently because it's about priorities, just like it is for the majority of these teams. Everybody's got a little bit different flavor, a little bit different priority, and how they're going to go about it. So I tell you what, we'll take our first break, and then we'll just dive into it, and we'll start talking about the quarterbacks.
The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft.
Now, when we look at the premier position in the NFL, it is the quarterback. And you've heard us talking the last three, four seasons. And if you're new around here, it's not necessarily worth going back and listening to all 700 episodes we've had on Locked On Chiefs. Or, good Lord, if you go back and listen to the Check With Me podcast that Chris and I did before Locked On. But what you'll see is there is a progression. And we talked a lot pre-Mahomes about the need for a franchise quarterback and what that does to change your whole organization. And that's something that all three of these players that I have in the first round in terms of their grades should be able to be projected by whatever team selects them. If they feel that they can make that kind of change. Now, obviously nobody's Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes, but a similar style turnaround that this guy can come into my system and make the change that I need to rally the entire offense. And honestly, the entire team around. That's what each team has to take a look at when they're starting to look at the quarterbacks, because it is such a prime position, not only in terms of the availability, but in terms of the commitment you have to make, especially when you get to the point of do or die on a second contract. And that is something that can break a franchise, frankly, if it's done incorrectly. So take that with a grain of salt. But in order, now this is a guy that we've heard so much about that it at this point is a runaway train. I don't see any way that Kyler Murray is not the first quarterback off the board. Is he as good as quarterbacks in classes past? Is he as good as Baker? Is he as good as Patrick? I don't personally think so. And I think it's a little bit of hyperbole for some of the talking heads, national commentators to put him in that echelon. Much more limited range of experience, for the analytics guys, much more limited data set to look at. But I think Murray offers you the best blend here. Obviously, there's some serious questions about commitment. There's some serious questions about baseball or football. You know, what are you getting? And only the teams can do what they have to do to make that determination. But I do think at the end of the day, he is the first one off the board. I think he comes off in the first three picks. I'm not 100% sold, although everyone that I know and trust says that they're sold on him going number one overall, but Kyler Murray's at the top. So, take that with however you want, whatever you think of him. I just put him there because I think it's almost inevitable at this point. The next guy that I see as probably somewhere between 12 and 15 is Drew Locke out of Missouri. And for you Missouri fans, I'm sure you're happy to hear that because I think he is the real deal. Yes, he has a little bit more processing that he has to sharpen up. Yes, his footwork can get a little bit away from him at times. But I think in terms of a guy that you can look at as your center stone to build everything else around, I think Drew Locke is the next guy on this list, despite what you think of other quarterbacks in the class. And obviously, Dwayne Haskins is the next. And I do think that he does make it into the first round. There's been a lot of hyperbole about how many smokescreens are really hiding the fact that many teams
are very, very down on him and don't consider him a first round pick. And it comes back to that may be true, but it really only takes one to do it. And I do feel at the end of the day that we are going to hear Dwayne Haskins name called on draft night on Thursday, the first round. So I did put him there. We'll come back and we'll talk about the day two guys here on another show later in the week, as well as the cleanup guys, day three prospects that are going to need some development. But those are my three: Murray, Locke, Haskins, and that's how I'm seeing it. Now, the next group that I like to look at, is because they're so important for those quarterbacks, is the offensive line group. And it is quite a varied group this year. A lot of talent that is very specific. There are a lot of guys that have strengths in one area or the other, and two of the top three are among them. But for my film grade, despite his athleticism, because this pick being ranked first amongst the O-line group is in spite of athleticism that doesn't pop off the tape. A lot of people that are concerned about his arm length, although if I read correctly, the measurements are on par with two other guys that are going to be on this list. But I still see at the end of the day, somebody that can be nasty, somebody that can be a leader, that can play multiple positions for your offensive line group. I think Jonah Williams is probably the best player in this group. Does he have the most upside? Probably not. I think we're going to talk about one of the guys that does have more than that here in a second. But Jonah Williams, Alabama, ready to go today. You can put him on that line. You expect him to be on that line for the next 8 to 10 years. Is he going to be a premier left tackle? Probably not. Maybe he will. He's overcome enough in terms of arm length already, and he's got every other aspect that you can look for. So Jonah Williams is my number one. Second, following up, and this is kind of a race, and I do feel like they're going to fall a little bit farther. This is going to be a mid-teen pick in my estimation, and Juwan Taylor out of Florida, a guy that is much better against the run than he is in his pass sets. And I think he's got a good attitude, a nasty attitude, I mean, and able to be kind of that enforcer against the run, but does get in trouble, especially with speed rushers around the edge, specifically Florida State. Brian Burns, we'll talk about him later. That really had his way with him in some places. And projecting into this position, you have to take that with a grain of salt. You have to know what you're getting. So number two on my board, offensive tackle in the offensive line group, is Juwan Taylor. And then comes the real question mark, because Taylor is so slanted athletically and tape-wise towards the run. Well, Andre Dillard's the exact opposite. Over 700 snaps his senior year out at left tackle in the pass game. A guy that didn't run block very much in college. From everything that we've heard, did very well in that capacity in high school, but not in college. So he's an uber athlete. He actually came in at the top of the athletic matrix for the lineman group, and that's Andre Dillard out of Washington State, a guy that I think you can look for, especially in your West Coast pass-heavy offenses, to anchor down and be able to protect your quarterback in the pass game enough that you can feel comfortable taking him in the top 17 picks. Beyond that, I think this gets into more of a question about who's going to go where. The tackles definitely have more value to teams in general. But I think Garrett Bradbury, the center slash guard slash could play tackle even at NC State. He's a natural center. He's a zone guy. Honestly, he would fit the Chiefs very well. And I think he is going to go in the 20s somewhere. I think he deserves that because he is that good. And I think he has some versatility to him. I think you're seeing a lot of pundits see that as well. And I think the last lineman that gets into the first round is, again, because of the need for tackle, and because he is fairly athletic. He's got good film. He's kind of an all-around guy, and I like Cody Ford out of Oklahoma. There are a number of guys in the second round that are going to be really, really good as well, but I think Cody Ford's going to squeak in at the end, and that's the offensive line group. Now, this is where I'm going to lose a bunch of you, so don't take it too hard, but here's the way it shakes out to me. And please, hit Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. Hit Ryan Tracy NFL. Let us know what you think of these particular lineups, because I don't have a single running back in the first round. I know that it's likely that Josh Jacobs is going to get selected there. Some team's going to do it. But for me, I don't see enough that's special about him to put him in the first round, because there are too many players at too many other positions that just give you more value in the first round. So I don't have a single running back. We'll start in the second round when we get to that in a day or two. And then the big controversial thing, because I know half of you want TJ Hockenson on this roster. I know another half of you would love to see Noah Fant, however we're going to call him. But at the end of the day, I don't see tight end as a position of need in the first round for anyone. And while these guys are athletic, they're not Tony Gonzalez. they're not Antonio Gates. I don't see anybody here, even though Hockenson is the most well-rounded and a guy that I think you can put in, and he can start for you week one this season, you know, coming in 4 months. I think that's great. I don't think it's worth a first-round pick, in my opinion. I don't think he's enough of a game-changer to be a first-round pick for me at this point. So I have no tight ends in the first round either, which brings us to the wide receivers. And this is going to be an interesting list. I think you saw DK Metcalf get a lot of recognition early, and he's fallen off quite a bit. Same thing with Akeem Butler, and the drops have caught up with him. A lot of teams are taking these guys out of the first round from what I'm hearing, and I happen to agree. I don't feel like the bigger possession receiver, while there are a ton of them in this particular class, I don't think that's the direction that the NFL is going, and I don't think it's what they want to see. So really, I only have two first-round grades on wide receivers in this draft, and it starts with Marquise Brown. And I put Hollywood up there a number of weeks ago, and you've heard me and Chris debate it, and Seth too. And now it seems that the talking heads on television are starting to come around because they're hearing the same thing from teams. The medical recheck came back on Hollywood Brown A-OK. That's a significant injury, that Liz Frank. So that is the thing that can let the leash loose that I think for teams to really consider him. I think he's easily the most explosive player, not just in his position, but in this draft, period. And if that foot is healed, if he is as good as it sounds like his medical rechecks are, there is no reason the team should not take him in the first round. I'm not talking top 10, but definitely in that middle area before 20. So I expect to see him come off the board. Don't know who it'll be, but I think that's going to be an okay pick. And the other guy is another Brown, AJ. AJ is a guy that can play in the slot that is becoming the Swiss Army knife of offenses in this league. Think that's going to be very important. He is a guy that can do it all. He can take down the field. He can run the whip route. He can do everything underneath that you need to him. He's experienced. He's confident. He is reliable. And I think he is a guy that a team can make a cornerstone of their offense as they start to move forward into 2019. So that's the offensive side. We'll take another quick break. I'll come right back, and we're going to talk the defense because this is where the meat of it is, and this is where the truly expressive players are. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs. Well, and now it's time to look at the defensive side of the ball, the side that is much deeper, I feel like, and actually has more high-end talent on this side of the ball. We're going to go through this because there's not a whole lot of controversy here, although there might be a little bit. We'll see what you guys think. And I really do want to know what you have to say. So leave it in the iTunes reviews. Leave it in wherever you like. Hit Locked On Twitter, Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as my own Twitter. Check out the Athletic Matrix if you haven't seen it yet, because it does play a role in this, and I think it'll be interesting for you all to see as we go along. There's a discount code. If you go to rogueapc.com and buy the guide, use the code Locked On. It'll get you a couple of bucks off. So as we go through here, starting along the D-line, Quinton Williams, I think, is a rare, rare opportunity to get a guy that can be a game changer for a decade. You can put him up against the best D-linemen that have come out in the last five seasons easily, and I think he's a no-brainer. I think Ed Oliver is a guy that's hard to pencil it at a specific position because he was used so poorly in terms of his role at college, but I think he's a guy you could put on the edge if you want. You can put him at a five tech. I think he can play the three really well. That's where I would line him up, and I think he's a unique talent. He should be in the top 10. I think he actually gets picked just outside of it. I have him sitting at 11. So that's the area that I think. And I think the one that maybe folks are going to be a little bit distilled on and separated on is Christian Wilkins, because he's not as flashy. He's not as huge and dominant as Dexter Lawrence is, and he's not as flashy as Cleveland Farrell was. But in that Clemson front, Christian Wilkins is the glue. He's the leader. He's the most senior and cerebral guy, and a guy that you can depend to play the run and play the pass and do it all well all the time and lead not only a defensive line unit, but a team. And I think that's somebody that's worth having, especially when you're talking about pairing someone with somebody like Chris Jones. So if the Chiefs did do something and saw the same value and then moved up to do that, I'd be okay with that. I don't know what you guys would think, but let us know there. And in the mock draft, if you missed it last week over on Locked On NFL, Chris and I debated because Jerry Tillery was there, and I had him just on the edge, just outside of the top 32 on my board. He still is, but it was very, very close, and it did come down to that that decision. So if you want to check that out, we were on day five. It was last Friday's show on Locked On NFL. And that brings us to the edge rushers. The edge rushers, you've heard Nick Bosa over and over and over, and yes, he's going to go very, very high. I still have a couple of question marks. Like his brother, he has a serious injury history that most of national media has kind of glossed over. I feel the teams are going to take a deeper look at that, but I do still feel like at the end of the day, despite injury risk, he's going to go very high. And a guy that I think is going to be the second edge rusher off the board, but really ought to be somewhere between 10 and 15, maybe even as low as 20, is Josh Allen. And for those of you that saw Twitter the night that I first watched his film, I got a lot of static for it, but Josh Allen doesn't play the run very well. Josh Allen does not counter his pass rush inside very well. He is a great speed rusher. And in that sense, he was like D Ford, but he can play the pass as well. He's just as good, I think, playing in coverage as a Sam as he is rushing the passer in a speed rush on the outside. Question is going to be, is somebody going to take him in a top five situation, hoping that they can develop his inside pass rush and get him to anchor against the run? And I think if you're just looking at value, he belongs somewhere in the mid-tier rather than the top 10. But that's me. The speed rusher out of this class, and the guy that I think has the most upside of anyone in this class, is Brian Burns out of Florida State. A guy that played it in 235, gained up and got to 249, I think was his official weight at the combine, but can do everything. He is as athletic as we've seen in the last couple of seasons. Now, he's not as speedy as Von Miller, but he's along the lines of speed rush is his game. He's got some counters. He's got a plan. He is a knowledgeable player. He does his work. And I feel like that is something that as he physically matures and gets coaching at the NFL level, I think he's a guy that can turn into a premier pass rusher. I would love it if the Chiefs were still in 3-4 to be looking at him, but since they're not, he's not a guy that they can look at. But Cleveland Farrell is, and I think Farrell's going to make it into the first round. I think he's going to be there when the Chiefs want to pick. And if edge is more important to them than the corner situation, I think Cleveland Farrell is going to make a big impact because he can play that big 4-3 end that Steve Spagnuolo likes, and he can play it with some emphasis and make a difference. That's what I see from him. And he's going to be, I think, the fourth edge rusher in terms of my board to go. There'll probably be two more that go in the first round, although there are some concerns. We'll talk about those guys probably Tuesday, and we will go from there. The last, you guys have talked about inside linebacker quite a bit. And there are a number of them, but the depth's all in the third and fourth round. There's only two first-round grades. You've heard me say that before. It is the two Devons. I have Devin White above Devin Bush because I think Devin Bush can be a nickelbacker for sure. I know he attacks and is physical against the run, but I feel like he's undersized, and I think in the NFL it's going to catch up with him. So I still have Devin White above him. Check out where I have them on the board and see what you think. I want to know if you guys think I'm a little bit too wide on them or if you think they're closer to the same prospect. And that brings us to the two positions we've been talking about the most lately, and that's the corners and safeties. And when it comes down to it, I tried. I really, really tried. And I wanted to try to get a third corner into the first round. We're going to talk about them tomorrow, the guys that didn't, because there's still only two, Byron Murphy, Greedy Williams. Now, the Chiefs have come out and made it sound through Bershaw Breland a little bit more like they're going to play man, so what I thought was somebody the Chiefs might go after in Byron Murphy, because I do feel he's the best corner out here. And I know people don't appreciate his athleticism. He's not as athletic as Greedy by a long shot, but he plays the ball. He tackles hard. He understands the defense. He can play multiple schemes. Whereas Greedy is a man corner who doesn't want to tackle, freelances a little bit, so much so that Tyrann Mathieu actually put out there on Twitter that if Greedy were to show up in Kansas City, the first thing they're going to do is start working on tackling drills. And I think that's, while it's a little bit humorous, I think it's also a former LSU guy who came out and had some trouble in his draft process trying to help out and prepare another LSU corner for what's going to have to happen in the league. And I hope that he gets a chance to help him. I think either could end up in Kansas City. I think Kansas City is going to move around. I think they're one of the targets, those two guys, that they may go up for. And it may be Greedy. And if so, he's got to have that support system in place to help him. And I think Tyrann Mathieu wants to be a leader. I think coming from that school, understanding the culture of being an LSU DB is something that's really going to help him. And the last pick, the pick that Chris and I made in the end for the Locked On Network mock draft that went on last week on Locked On NFL, is Nasir Adderley the only first round safety that I have? And that is because he can do everything. He plays deep. He's got the athleticism to play sideline to sideline. He's got good instincts from the deep position. Solo high kind of guy. But he's also played some corner. He's got that man ability if you have to make him do it. If you need to pair somebody with Tyrann Mathieu that can do what Tyrann Mathieu can, there are a couple of guys in this draft, two that we're going to talk about tomorrow, but Nasir Adderley is one of the three of them that are at the top of my list who can actually be interchangeable in terms of their physical ability, their instinctual ability to play with Tyrann Mathieu so that you can disguise that. And I think disguise is the name of the game for Steve Spagnuolo. So I'm interested to see if that's somebody that he wants to go after. So that's it. That's my 22 first round grades. This is day one of the big board. It is released up on Chiefs Digest as well as over at Rogue Analytics, rogueapc.com. It's in PDF. Grab it. Have a look at it. I've got a couple of red flags on some players, and that's either evaluation or medical red flags. I've got a couple of question marks. I've got one guy you just got to stay away from. See what you think of the board and let me know. I'll put the links back in the show notes. I'll put them up. I'll tweet them out. They'll be everywhere. I want everybody to have a chance to have this board, whether you agree with my board or whatever. There's plenty of spaces in it so you can fill in your own, too. Move it around and follow along with the draft. It really gives you a better bird's eye view of where everything is. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys enjoyed this. This is the first year that I haven't done draft science. And if any of you follow from Arrowhead Pride, I started that five seasons ago in the user groups, just adding that stuff out there. And I decided not to do draft science this year. Doing the board in depth is the new way to do it. So that's what I'm going for. I hope you guys like it. Let me know if you did, both on YouTube, on iTunes reviews, in the Twitter comments, anywhere you get the podcast. Tell your friends, this is going to be an awesome draft, and I hope, I'm looking forward to spending some time with you guys both on RGR. I'll be live post the first round pick, whatever it is. I'll be live at the end of day two, and we'll be live on at the day of N3. We'll also be doing podcasts, all of them, every day of the draft as we go through. So we're going to have plenty of reaction and analysis for you. Don't miss a beat. We'll pull in everybody that we can possibly get that has any time to talk to us, because it is a very, very hectic time. But if you guys have somebody you want to know specifically about, drop us notes in the Locked On Twitter feed, Locked On Chiefs Twitter feed, and I will try to get to them as we go along. And I hope that this helps. That's the goal of it. Appreciate all of your time and all of you listening. Spread the word. Tell every Chiefs fan you know this is the place to be right now. I'm looking forward. I'm really pumped for this week, and I hope you are too. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.